As it was mentioned, the scripture for this evening is taken from Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be reading the first 10 verses. Starting at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. With these thoughts in our mind, let us reverently kneel as we pray.
Good evening. I got a question for us to answer as I start here this evening. How many of you become weary? We become tired and weary after a long day's work. We become tired and weary. And the thought for tonight is, be not weary. That would be the title of the message. Be not weary, and it is taken from verse 9 of Galatians 6 there. That is the verse we're going to focus on tonight. But I believe we understand what it means to be tired. But what about weary? We're going to look at what the definition, or what I believe Paul is telling us to not be weary, what that really means. Let us not be weary. A number of weeks ago, I was reading in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, I was reading that chapter one morning for devotions, and this is the verse that jumped out at me. It's a parallel verse there with verse 9 of Galatians 6. It says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And as soon as I read that, I thought, well, that verse is, there's another verse similar to that, but it says more. And that's Galatians 6, 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. But that jumped out at me as I read that morning, and I thought about that for a little while. What does it mean to not be weary? Why do we become weary in doing good things? Why do we become weary? You know, we probably all have something that we enjoy doing. And some of us may enjoy an athletic sport, and you become tired. At the end of the game, you're exhausted, you're tired, but you do it again and again and again because it's something you enjoy. Some of us enjoy going hunting or hiking in the outdoors, and we become tired if you are hunting and you get some game and you got to get it out of the woods. You become maybe extremely exhausted. But we'll do it again and again and again and again because we find fulfillment, maybe. We find joy. We find enjoyment in what we are doing. So I believe that to help us to not become weary in well-doing, if we find joy in doing those good things, the well-doing, we will not become weary. We will do it again and again, even though we may become tired. We If we find joy in doing that, we will do it over and over, and we will continue in doing that good thing, whatever it may be. And there's many different things that could be considered a good thing or well-doing. So with that sort of a thought on our minds, I want to look at the first half of verse 9 there. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Who is the us that Paul is talking about here as he writes to the Galatians, and as he also wrote to those in Thessalonica? Who is the us? He doesn't say, "Don't you be weary in well-doing." He says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Those are some things there that could be considered good works, being steadfast, unmovable. But he is talking to the church there. He is talking to the church of Jesus Christ. He's not talking to the world around us to not be, to not be weary in well-doing. He is talking to the church. And I found it interesting as I thought and meditated on this. Paul didn't write, he was writing to the church about not being weary and doing good things. He didn't say that the world is going to become tired of doing wrong things. The world about us, they continue in wrong things, and they don't become tired of it, because they are fulfilling the pleasures of the flesh, the lust of the spirit, and so on. But Paul is talking to the church of Jesus Christ when he said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." What does the word weary mean? According to the Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, it means to be weak, that is, to fail in heart or to faint. And we'll see that in the second half of the verse. It uses the word faint. But to be weary is someone that, or is to become tired inwardly, that we give up, that we quit, that we don't want to continue, that we just throw our hands up in the air. Hebrews 12:2, and this links together the idea of joy. Hebrews 12:2 and 3. And this also brings in the word wearied at the end of verse 3, but I want to read them. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus, he as God, being one with God the Father, he created, he came up, he was the author of the plan of salvation. But he had to finish it. He had to come and fulfill that plan. And why did he do it? It says, because of the joy that was set before him. He knew what the results were going to be. He knew that there was going to be followers. He knew that there were going to be those that would accept that plan of salvation, and that he would be able to call them home. That he would have a relationship that he desires with each one of us. So for that joy that he knew was coming, he endured the suffering on the cross. He endured the false accusations. He endured even coming to earth in the first place. because of the joy. So when we find joy and understand the good things that we do bring honor to God and know that there is going to be a harvest of blessing, we can find joy in in doing those things, and that will drive us, may I say, to continue. So we need to, when we maybe start to become a little weary and become discouraged, think about Jesus on the cross. And it was because of the joy that was set before him, he endured and did not become weary. He did not get off that cross. He was the finisher of that plan of salvation. He was the finisher, is the finisher of our faith. So if we have a desire to do good spiritual things, good works, I believe Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, will give us the strength we need to continue in doing them. We're not doing them for ourselves. There's many things that we practice and believe, and we're not doing it for me, for yourself. You're not doing it to bring yourself satisfaction. What are some of the well-doing, and I find that sort of a hard phrase to use. We could maybe use good works in there, good things to do, well-doing. What does well-doing mean? And I looked up a number of verses, and the list could be extremely large. We wouldn't have time to go over all of them tonight. Of all the things that we can do that would be considered doing well. But in Romans 2, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. I think that verse is telling us not seeking after the things of this world, not seeking the temporal things, not seeking those things that are going to pass away, but seeking the eternal. As Dustin mentioned this morning, seeking diligently after God, to seek those things that are going to last for eternity. 1 Peter 2, verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What would that be? Teaching, preaching, witnessing, studying, understanding what we believe, why we do what we do. But when foolish men come and want to argue and debate, we need to have understanding of what we do and what we believe, understand the Word of God, and that means we're going to be in it. We're going to be reading it and studying it. So teaching and preaching and witnessing, sometimes that witnessing, or many times that witnessing, is just our daily lives, the way we live, the way we respond to different situations. 1 Peter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There in verse 17, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Maybe being falsely accused. We need to be blameless. We need to strive to live a life where nobody can blame us for wrongdoing. To strive to be blameless is another thing that we could consider well-doing. And then in Galatians 6 there, the first two verses of that chapter. And as I thought about these verses, I thought about when we maybe go to someone that maybe that has a fault, they may feel that we are coming to tear them down, to make them feel bad. But we're really coming to pick them up, to stand behind them, to maybe you could say have their back, so that Satan does not have his way with them. Verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that means if they fall into temptation and they have yielded to that temptation, whatever that may be, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So a good thing is to actually go to someone that you see a fault in. But first, consider yourself. And I think consider yourself that you are blameless, that they would feel that you're trying to help them. So many times, some good things that we need to do are difficult because others may look at it as we're trying to tear them down or point out their weaknesses. And that's only a few things that could be considered well-doing. So the Church of Jesus Christ, be not tired, don't give up. Find joy in doing those things which are good. Joy for the honor and the glory of God the Father. The second part of verse 9 there says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season means that it's not immediately. There's going to need to be patience. All of us know that as you plant seed in the ground, you don't immediately have a harvest. It takes time. It takes, in many cases, a lot of work to assist that seed in its growth. Fertilizer, watering, heat, sun. Likewise with the well-doing. There is going to be a time for growth. There is going to be a time before we are going to reap the harvest. But in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 6, we want to look at them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, there are a lot of people today, and I believe these verses point out that we can't just do what we want, and we're going to have eternal life. It points out that if we sow, verse 8 right there, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If we're going to sow corruption, we're going to harvest, we're going to reap, we're going to experience corruption. So there are many people, and I want to turn to Titus chapter 1, the last verse in that. I read yesterday, and it jumped out at me as I thought about this. They profess that they know God. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. We know there are many people in the world today that profess they know God. They might know of God. They might know that God is a higher being, but they do not really know God because they deny him by their works. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, reprobate. I think that goes along here with sowing to the flesh. They're going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. And so those of the faith or the Church of Jesus Christ, as we do those good things and are sowing to the Spirit, sowing good seed, we are desiring to bring honor and glory to God the Father. We are sowing to the Spirit. And according to verse 8, we can expect to reap a harvest of eternal life. In verse 10 or verse 7 there says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." Doesn't matter what all those people tell us, it doesn't matter what they believe, they're going to reap corruption. So, for in due season we shall reap. We are going to reap a harvest. It doesn't matter what we think we or what we want to reap. It's going to depend on what we sow as to what we're going to reap. But there will be a harvest, just like in the world, in the physical aspect. When we sow, we sow wheat, we reap wheat. When we sow corn, we reap corn. Whatever it is that we sow, we reap. And when there is seed sown, there is a harvest. Sometimes it's much better than others, but there is a harvest. The second part of that, second half of verse 9, says, "If we faint not." If we faint not. So if we are doing good, if we're well doing, we're going to reap life everlasting, but there's a requirement. We can be sowing good seed, but if we become weary and quit, we're not going to harvest that fruit. If we quit partway through, we're going to reap corruption, because it says if we faint not, we will reap that harvest. We need to continue. And there's a lot of verses that we're going to look over here that I just think really point out the idea of continuing, keeping on, and not being weary. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31, and they're very familiar. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know, that's a beautiful picture. And there's many pictures of an eagle soaring in the sky high above the mountains with that verse printed on it. And that's a beautiful way to look at that verse, that we can be as eagles flying above all the troubles of earth if we renew our strength in the Lord. We can maybe be in the middle of all those troubles, all those trials, down in those valleys, but really we can be soaring above them, because our faith, our hope, our strength is not in us, it's in the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 13, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." We got to endure. We got to continue. We can't quit. We cannot faint. We got to continue until the end, and then we will be saved. We can't quit partway through. Luke 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." Always to pray and not faint. That means we don't pray for a little while and then quit. We continue praying. There's also a verse, and I don't know exactly what it is, but we're to pray without ceasing. Continually be in prayer and not quit, not faint. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. As our bodies may fail, as we get older, each of us are getting older each day. We aren't what we used to be. But our strength in the Lord, I hope, is getting stronger. As Dustin talked this morning, that our faith is growing, that our trust in the Lord is getting stronger, and we are renewed day by day. Even though outwardly we may be getting weaker, or we are getting weaker. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Again, unto the end, we got to be steadfast. We cannot be tossed about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. We have to hold fast unto the end. Revelations 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And that is written in red. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but thou 10 days, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be not fearful of what we are going to suffer. God will be with us. God will go through it with us. Continue unto the end. And what are we going to get? A crown of life. If we continue, if we don't faint, if we're sowing the seed to spiritual life, we're going to receive a crown. And verse 11 also there in Revelation 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death is going to have no effect on us. The next several verses I'm going to read, and the last one there, verse 11 of Revelation 2, used the word overcometh. Overcometh is the opposite of faint. That is to subdue, to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, to get the victory. You know, a soldier that is in battle, and we are soldiers. I worked with a man that served in the Army for 12 years, and I don't remember what we were talking about one day. And he said something about the Army, and I said, well, we're not soldiers here. And he looked at me and said, yes, you are soldiers. You're just a different kind of a soldier. That sort of struck me because he recognizes believers as soldiers of the cross. And there's a whole lot of parallels that can go along with that. But a soldier that is in battle cannot faint and be an overcomer. He's got to be strong. He's got to continue. He's got to keep up the fight to be an overcomer, to have the victory. So Revelation 2, verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And all these verses that we're going to read here talk about unto the end and overcoming and the blessings or the gifts or what we're going to receive for being overcomers. Verse 27 there of Revelation 2, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, it's unto the churches of Jesus Christ. It's not to the world. It's to the churches. If we do not faint, if we continue to the end, he is going to give, and we are overcomers, he is going to give us the morning star. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Says that he will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So a name can be blotted out. A name can be taken out of that book that has been put in. So for our name to stay in that book, we got to continue unto the end. We cannot faint. We have got to be steadfast. Revelations 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So if we have a name written upon us, that means that's who we belong to. We will be claimed by Jesus Christ. We will have his name written on us if we continue to the end, if we don't faint. Revelations 3:21, to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So to those that are overcomers, he is going to grant to sit with him in his throne, which is in the throne of God the Father. We are going to be able to sit with Jesus on the throne of God the Father. That's something to think about. That's something to strive for, to look forward to be able to sit with Jesus. Can we find joy in the things we are doing? Can we find joy in the commandments of Scripture, the principles that are in Scripture? Can we find joy in doing them, knowing that is bringing honor to God, that it is bringing him pleasure? The verses here that we looked at point out or declare that if we faint not, if we don't quit, if we continue in the good things that we are taught out from his word, the things that the commandments of God's word, if we continue in them, if we continue in the practices and the principles, if we remain faithful, that we will receive the harvest of eternal life, that we have something to look forward to that cannot be gained in any other way, cannot be gained by giving in. We give in maybe for our own pleasure now, maybe so someone thinks more highly of us. Maybe we compromise to, and compromise in the right place is okay, but compromising the scriptures and the principles that are taught there are wrong. But most times we would compromise to maybe keep a friendship with someone. Is it better to keep friendship with those on earth or to keep a friendship, a relationship with God in heaven? That verse, as it jumped out at me, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a lot there to think about. And in closing, I would like to encourage each one of us to continue. We all have room to grow, I believe. We all can do better. But to continue in the labors of love in the church, to continue in the church work, sometimes we become tired, may become weary, may think, well, what about for myself? I'm going to take a break from that for a while. But we need to continue in those things. And it'll be sowing to the Spirit, so we can, of the Spirit, reap life everlasting. So there's a lot that can be covered in that statement of well-doing. And I think you all understand what that is. And as you think and ponder those thoughts, I pray that you are encouraged to continue in those things. May God bless you and add his power to his word.